Welcome to the Data Universe podcast, where we talk with leaders at the forefront of data and AI about the latest innovations and trends transforming tomorrow. Some of these names you'll know, others you won't yet, but they'll all be connecting the dots across this swiftly evolving space, inspiring you to think big and go deep, uncovering insights to create your brighter future. My name is Adam Burns, technology journalist and contributing editor to Data Universe, and this is the future of data and AI explored and explained. And in this podcast, I'm talking with Jack Phillips, CEO and founder of the International Institute for Analytics, the authority on analytics maturity and best practices. Jack, hello.
Adam, so great to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Now, IIA is your sixth successful startup venture, Jack. You specialize in spotting emerging job functions and building successful information publishing and research firms to help those professionals make better decisions. So what are the most pressing pains for chief data and analytics officers today?
Well, Adam, I think the most pressing pain is actually also the opportunity. And so ultimately, the job for chief data and analytics officers and AI officers is to move the business forward. And to move the business forward requires culture change. It requires changing the habits of employees and stakeholders across an enterprise. It also requires changing what are often pretty brittle, hard cultural norms. Using data to make better decisions. So the most pressing pain is not budget. It's not opportunity. It's actually just bending the metal of the enterprises that they work within. And that is also the biggest opportunity. And that's why we're so bullish on the role of chief data and chief data and analytics officers going forward.
And you see, I think maybe to people outside of, you know, within a more sort of data-based purview, way of looking at the world, the fact that people seemingly choose to ignore it can be quite of course, it's a frustration, but also I think quite a confusion. In your experience, why do people choose to ignore what most of us, I think, would see as common sense?
Sure. And I think it gets into our inner emotions and confidence. To be honest, you know, people really rely on their experience as a differentiator for themselves. And when you have folks who have gotten to know a job function or a certain role over the years, they pride themselves on knowing how to do that role or produce that function in their brains. And now the world is full of data and information that can help augment that decision making. But I find that it's not uncommon for particularly business leaders to be intimidated by the use of data. It may prove them wrong. They may be asked to perform some new calculations or tasks or understanding that they don't have. So I think it ends up being, you know, we often call this challenge a socio-technical challenge. And we've been talking about the techno forever. But the leading CDOs and CDAOs are now becoming very proficient in the socio part. That is, that ability to raise the water level across all employees and stakeholders, make them comfortable, train them, you know, make them adept at using data to do their jobs even better.
And you believe that a firm's data and analytics maturity hold the answer as to how ready it is to leverage AI. So what should businesses be looking for? Don't rush to embrace AI until ...
Yeah, well, until you have your essential data and assets in place. And, you know, there is a continuum of maturity that starts with basic reporting and business intelligence all the way up through predictive modeling and finally, you know, using artificial intelligence to think about the questions that we're not asking, so optimization problems. And I think in the world of Gen AI, there's a confusion between this new tool that happens to have been branded with the word or the acronym AI after it, between that and traditional AI techniques that have been in place for decades. And so the answer is, I think, in this zeal by CEOs and boards to always answer the question, are you using AI? They all want to say, of course. And then they seem to turn around to the rest of the team and say, are we and can we? And that's where the CDO and the CAO need to raise their hand and say, look, this isn't actually all that different than what we've been doing for a long time. It all comes back to the basics, right? High quality, available, flowing data is the food that any AI system feeds upon. And without that, you really don't have anything. So you can't just jump to this excellent, this far out there case without having the basics in place first.
And I wonder if there's an element, I think, you know, what you said, the flowing, that word is key, isn't it? And I wonder if there's an element to which, do you remember when the information security department was, you know, the department that says no? And it wasn't particularly that it said no, it was that it said, hang on, not yet, while we figure it out. Right. Is there an element, do you think, that the analytics has been that? Because it's been, well, let me go and do some research and I'll come back to you. Whereas now, the systems, the technology side of it, rather than the social side of it, is getting much quicker. It is flowing.
It is. Without question. And that pace of change has never stopped and it will continue. So you get into automation, you get into self-service opportunities. That part of the equation is moving nicely. But if you think about what, you know, about how we define maturity, it's the other side of the equation that needs to kind of catch up here, if you will. But you are exactly right. The number of tools, the number of efficiencies on the tech side, nobody can keep track of it. It's going so quickly.
So how do you measure that data and analytics maturity?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, since Tom Davenport and I started IIA over a decade ago, you know, we've always been challenged with this question. And he wrote a couple of seminal books early on that talked about this idea of competing on analytics. And I'll summarize it. When we started our business, all of the client questions, if you will, there really wasn't necessarily a chief data officer. There was a CTO, a CIO, there was IT. But everything we talked about in those early days was about technology and data. And the idea was that if you built unlimited supply, if you built world-class data assets and analytics assets, that was maturity. What we've now seen is when you bring the socio side, as I mentioned earlier, into the equation, true maturity is when the expectations of the demand side stakeholders are in alignment with the supply that is being offered by the data and analytics teams and their leaders. So immaturity means if you have complete oversupply and none of the consumers is able to actually do anything with it, or if you have the opposite, where you have huge expectations on the demand side and kind of middling or low capabilities on the supply side in the data and analytics side, you have immaturity. So those firms that have figured out how to meet the needs of demand side stakeholders adequately, that is, they're in balance, to us, that's high maturity. Now, there's a lot more under the hood than that in terms of scoring and so on. But in a sense, in a simple sense, that's how we define analytics maturity.
Fantastic. And we look sort of more widely, you know, kind of in your space. What or who is inspiring you right now and why?
Yeah. Well, we keep track of, we think, the world's richest data set of what we'll call industry indexes around analytics and data maturity. So we rank industries and sub-industries. And as you can imagine, you have industries like insurance and financial services and what we call the digital natives up at the top. And then, you know, in the middle are traditional kind of manufacturing enterprises. And then toward the bottom end are more traditional industries like healthcare. And so the folks that are inspiring me the most are actually those companies and those industries that are trying to move up out of the cellar, if you will, right? And specifically healthcare providers are really inspiring to us because the running room, the headroom is so great. They have historically been very focused on patient safety and patient care. This is, you know, the age-old culture is of that industry is you can't run it by the numbers. But the strides that are being made there are far greater on a percentage basis than, say, the top performers. So I enjoy most working with, you know, with the leading healthcare organizations, provider organizations around the world who are revolutionizing what they do in terms of patient safety, patient care, throughput, that kind of thing. That's exciting to me to watch.
Yeah, fantastic. And now there is just so much going on in Gen AI. You mentioned it, analytics, lakes and clouds, large language models and leadership. But if this was a literal universe and not a figurative one, what planet in the data universe should we explore first and why?
Well, it's tempting to, I think, explore the obvious ones like the data planet, the analytics planet, the architecture planet, the data science planet. But if I were advising a freshly minted CDO or CAO, the first stop in that universe would be the business challenge planet. So, you know, you have to start with the end in mind. You have to understand what success looks like in terms of revolutionizing the business and work backwards from there. You don't start on the tech planet and move to the business planet. And so, you know, they're often for data and analytics leaders who traditionally have been technology leaders. There really isn't necessarily a map to that territory. It can be a little uncomfortable for them, but, you know, we encourage the leaders that we work with to get out of their offices, change their mindsets, almost this sort of this anthropologist view, which is let's go explore that planet and really understand where we can have the highest impact on the enterprise. Where can we increase revenue the most, market share the most, improve cost structure so that we can drive profit? Really figuring that part out and working backwards is the advice I would give.
Jack Phillips, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Jack Phillips from the International Institute for Analytics. For more insights from an exciting, evolving, and frequently unfamiliar future, check out the other podcasts in this series or subscribe to the Data Universe Weekly Insights newsletter, or, of course, join us all at Data Universe, where data heroes like you go to grow.